Great political division, polarized disagreements over many things in America in relation to other nations, an upheaval of society's norms and morality and decency standards overturned, sexuality becoming a dominant and defining issue, a rapid revolution, controversial Supreme Court nomination, racial tensions, violence, protests, instability, lack of peace on so many levels. And you might be thinking I'm reviewing the year 2018. I'm actually talking about the year 1968. It was 50 years ago on Christmas Eve when those things were swirling around in our nation, and many in our nation had been focused on those things that year, but on Christmas Eve, something lifted up the attention of many in this nation and around the world, and really away from this world and its concerns. This very day, this very hour, December 24th, right around 7 p.m., 1968. To give a little history of that, the History Channel calls 68 an extremely turbulent and polarizing year. Martin Luther King Jr. and John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. The war in Vietnam had escalated, and race riots had broken out in cities across the country. But citizens of all stripes and backgrounds united in support of Apollo 8, the mission of the spacecraft Apollo 8. The New York Times called that space mission, quote, the most fantastic voyage of all times. There had been no previous manned flight, a flight with people in it, either U.S. or Soviet, that had ever left Earth's gravitational field. This was a big thing. And it was on December 24th that three astronauts from the United States became the first humans to begin to orbit the moon. The first ones to see the dark side of the moon, the first to enter lunar orbit. Roughly one out of every four people on the planet were tuned into this in some way, and in particular the broadcast on Christmas Eve. There were three men aboard Apollo 8 for a journey that Newsweek compared to three men on another long journey many years ago, led by stars, seeking the hope of mankind. Here's what the NASA website writes. Much like the shepherds and wise men during the first Christmas, people around the world had their attention turned towards the heavens. It is estimated that as many as 1 billion people watched the historic broadcast or listened to it on the radio. Some of you in this room remember that. One of the three astronauts, Frank Borman, said they were told, quote, on Christmas Eve, we would have the largest audience that had ever listened to a human voice. And the only instructions NASA gave us, he says, was to say something appropriate. And Borman shared toward the end of the broadcast, they felt, in his words, quote, closeness with the creator of all things. And they were also struck with the smallness of Earth seen from space. They were there to observe the moon, but what really struck them was seeing the Earth. In fact, when they were doing their broadcast, the Earth started to rise. They saw an Earth rise, and they were stunned seeing this small blue planet as they orbited around the moon's darkness into light on that night before Christmas. And here's how their broadcast ended 50 years ago to this hour. For all the people on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message we would like to send you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they took turns reading Genesis 1 about the creation of light and night and day as it was divided from the darkness and the oceans and the land that was called Earth. And they're seeing this visibly before their eyes, and they're seeing light turn to darkness. They're seeing day, and they're seeing the oceans and the seas in their place. What an amazing thing that must have been. And Genesis 1 goes on to say that God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. And it says God made the sun and the moon and the stars also. Their broadcast signed off with this, Merry Christmas and God bless All of you on the good earth. How many of you remember seeing or listening to that broadcast? All right, a number of you. That was a half century ago. 20 centuries ago, another message, a greater message, came from the heavens to earth, from the Creator Himself, as He Himself came close to us. And that first Christmas night we've been singing about, angels broadcasted a message for all the people on earth. It was for all the people. And the message was this good news of great joy. This is what God wanted to send to all on earth. Good news of great joy for all the people. Peace on earth was spoken from the sky that night into a world that in the first century was a turbulent, violent, polarizing and dividing world. A Savior is born, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. John's Gospel begins with, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." This is the one who made the world. Everything was made through Him, and He was made flesh to dwell among us. The God of the universe, the Creator, came in a manger. And the Creator came to a cross to be our Savior. That's how peace on earth comes. It comes to us rebel sinners. It comes to individuals who will see their need for peace with God because of their sin, who will trust in this Prince of Peace. Peace on earth and mercy mild when God and sinners are reconciled. That's the peace that we need. And He came born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. That second birth, or being born again, comes to those who pray what we sang earlier, "Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today." And where meek souls still receive Him, He will enter. Meek, humble faith is how He enters our life. If you know you're a sinner needing reconciliation with God, turn from your sin and trust this Savior who is Christ the Lord. What does it mean for Him to be Lord? We sang earlier, "Every knee shall then bow down. Come and worship. Come and worship Christ the King." If He is your Lord, He's your King, you bow down. You bow the knee to Him and you come and worship, not just at Christmas or at other times. You want to come, you want to worship as your King calls you to regularly with His church, with His people. We sing of Jesus, the King of Kings, and salvation He brings to loving hearts that enthrone Him. And so fall on your knees. Hear those angel voices. Try to hear those angel voices again. Behold your King, and before Him lowly bend. All of us, as we behold our King, we should bow before Him. And that's how you have peace with God. That's how many of you in this room have found peace with God, by bowing in faith to Jesus as King. This is a peace that we enjoy, that we should celebrate, that we, as we think of all these other things at Christmas, let's not lose sight of that astounding fact that the God who created everything would come in a manger and would come to the cross for us. That gospel peace on earth can make a sinner with God reconciled, and also can make sinner with sinner reconciled. And that's the peace that our world still longs for. The same song says, "Truly He taught us to love one another. His law is love and His gospel is peace. The slave is our brother. In His name all oppression shall cease." We sang, "Come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy strive and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace." And we have a peace. We have a part to play in that, as we can be peacemakers, blessed peacemakers. As we spread this message of peace, as we model and pursue this peace, forgiving others and living as peaceably as we can with all people. And so our prayer is that you will experience more of this heavenly peace on earth, that you will experience this peace relationally with God and also peace with others on this holy night and on this holiday. If we can be of any ministry to any of you after the holidays, let us know. If you don't know this peace, if you don't know Christ here tonight, anyone that you've seen up front here would love to talk with you afterwards. But we're going to sing of this as we close. And I want to give you a note on the song we're going to sing just in a couple minutes here. Tonight's actually another anniversary. 200 years ago, at a Christmas Eve service in Austria, there was a song sung for the first time at the Church of St. Nicholas in 1818. And the church organ wasn't working that night, so it was sung by guitar. And it would become a Christmas classic. It's now sung in over 300 languages. It was a poem written in troubled and turbulent times. It was actually written, the writer was reflecting on his longing for peace. There had been a summer of great violence in the area where he was at in Austria. In World War I, there was a Christmas Eve ceasefire, and both sides in the trenches there sang together Stille Nacht in the German side, and in the English and the Allied English-speaking forces sang Silent Night. It's a wonderful story. You can read about more about those things. But I'm going to pray, and as we sing that song in a little bit, I want you to think about those words. Think about those words for our times in our lives. Meditate, ponder these words like Mary did. And let's pray and ask God to help us to do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you so loved the world that you sent your only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting or eternal life. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for these truths. And I pray, Lord, that we would not just sing past or just gloss over these words because they're familiar to us, Lord, but that we would meditate on them. And Lord, that we would ponder that you would send your Son, the one who is the creator and sustainer of all things, to be flesh, to dwell among us, fully God and fully man, to live the life we could not live, and to die the life that we deserve to die for our sins, to rise with the life that we could never earn, so that we might receive that as a present, as a free gift. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, and I pray for those in this room who have not yet understood that or embraced that, Lord, that this might be the season, this might be the very hour that they first believe. We pray these things in the wonderful name of the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince